Welcome to another episode of Learn Buddhism. I'm Alan Pito. When we think of repentance or repenting in Buddhism, we might be thinking about how other religions do that, where when you repent, you're looking for some sort of absolution from a higher power to basically clean the slate or forgive you of your sins. Do we have something similar in Buddhism? Well, yes and no. When we look at repentance in Buddhism, this is what hundreds of millions of Buddhists around the world do, but they're not doing it just so there's a clean slate, so to speak, but it has a firmly rooted Buddhist practice component to it. So let's explain more about repentance in Buddhism and why you should probably take a fresh look at repentance and incorporate that into your Buddhist practice. First, I want to take you back in time. Let's go back to when Shakyamuni Buddha was alive. And imagine you were either a monastic or a layperson. And let's say that you did some transgression, some misdeed, some unwholesome karma, if you will. What do you do? Well, you would go to your teacher, in that case, the Buddha, and reveal what that transgression was, because your teacher is the one who's trying to help you not do those transgressions. That's why we see in Buddhism, we have things such as the five precepts, and monastics have hundreds of precepts. And they're not rules, if you will, to just tell us what we can't do. They're there to keep us nicely on this path towards awakening and enlightenment. But as sentient beings, human beings, we are going to do transgressions. We are still clouded to the truth, the Dharma that the Buddha taught. And because of that, we are sometimes slipping in and out of this path. And that's where essentially we are doing transgressions, misdeeds. And these are unwholesome because they are not helping you on that path towards awakening. And when we're talking about this, we're talking, yes, about morality and conduct, which is part of the Buddha's Eightfold Path. So he has three groupings of that Eightfold Path. We've got this morality and conduct, we got wisdom, and we got concentration. And you just can't have all these other ones like sitting meditation, just reading sutras, but not worry about its morality and conduct. That's a really important part of Buddhist practice, to the point where the Buddha even said that was very key, that's very important. You just can't be doing all these other things. You must cultivate that as well. So repentance, when we're repenting to our teacher back then, the Buddha is not going to go, well, clean slate, as I mentioned kind of before, well, you're absolved of sin. Well, we don't have sin as you might understand it in other religions and Buddhism. It's based upon our actions, our karma. And it's all, if we take a little deeper dive, and you've heard me talk about this before, is due to the three poisons or three fires, that's greed, anger, and ignorance. And because of that, that is what's kicking us off the road, the path, if you will, and doing these misdeeds, these transgressions, this unwholesome karmic actions. And that's of the mind, body, speech, for example. And when this happens, we have created unwholesome karma. And we know in Buddhism, we don't want to be generating this unwholesome karma because it keeps us trapped in this cycle of rebirth. And that's all important when we talk about repentance, because again, we are not trying to go to the Buddha and say, please forgive me. We're going there for guidance. And that's a key part. Yes, we're going for help, of course, but we need that guidance. And if we don't have the Buddha physically in front of us right now, we just can't go to him, right? So what do we have to do instead? Well, let's take that if you went to temple or your home Buddhist practice. You likely have an image of the Buddha or a Buddha or a Bodhisattva or a statue. And as part of our practice, has there been any sort of things we have done, any type of transgressions, misdeeds? If so, that's a great time to repent. And we do that as I kind of mentioned earlier, we want to do almost like when we're sick. You know, you want to get that sickness out, right? That's why, you know, sometimes you throw up. You want to get the, your body wants to get that sickness out. So when you repent, you are releasing, you're getting rid of that sickness. You're bringing it out into the open. Just like if you were talking to the Buddha, you're getting it out. And as human beings, sentient beings, we really need to do that. Just trying to keep it secret, quiet, just to ourselves, doesn't really help. We have to do this as part of our practice. And of course, you don't have to, of course, do it verbally if you know you're in a family setting and it's just very busy and noisy, you don't want to disturb anybody. That's understandable. But we want to get this out in some way. So what we typically do, we will go before this statue or image of a Buddha or Bodhisattva and repent, give up what our transgression was, our misdeed, because we need to have this aspiration, right? This aspiration to have good deeds instead of these wrong or unwholesome deeds that we've done. Now, a very traditional way of repenting is to chant. And typically, we're chanting some sort of saying mantra, for example. And in my tradition, the way it is chanted is, all unwholesome karmas done in the past stems from greed, hatred, and ignorance, forming through physical, verbal, and mental deeds. Now, for all of them, I shall repent. And you notice how what's inside there is the three fires, three poisons. We are making ourselves aware that this misdeed that we've done is due to that. And that is our goal in Buddhism, is to end the three fires, greed, anger, and ignorance. We don't want to keep putting fuel on there because it gives rise to things like these misdeeds, which are creating the karmic actions, which are keeping us trapped in this cycle of rebirth, which the Buddha said is unsatisfactory. So we are chanting this. But I would also say, get out what that misdeed was. You can definitely speak to a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. You're not going to hear back from them verbally, of course, but you're going to go, hey, this is what I've done. And as you are releasing this information, you are also helping your mind understand what has occurred. And as you progress on the Buddha's path, you're understanding more and more and more why certain things occur. So it's a little bit subconscious, a little bit conscious on your mind on trying to understand all this, but you are tapping into a Buddha or a Bodhisattva to help you as well. And that's kind of interesting because, as I mentioned, we are trying to get out to a teacher, right? And I just mentioned, well, you're not going to hear back, of course, verbally from them, but it doesn't mean that you can't ask for help. So getting it out really is this one part, but also as part of that first stage, this first part of repentance, is asking for help. You can definitely do that. And in certain traditions, especially in some of the Mahayana traditions, we are absolutely asking for help of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas because they are there not to change the course of the world or give us some sort of absolution, but they're there to help us ultimately to understand the Dharma. Because when we understand the Dharma, that is when we are liberated. That's when we become an awakened, enlightened being. Until then, we're just constantly caught in a cycle. So their ultimate goal for us is to become enlightened, not to just do some sort of deed or something to help us here or there. And in certain traditions, yes, that is absolutely possible. But it's not something we're going to be absolutely aware of. Ultimately, as I mentioned again, they want to help us understand the Dharma. And that can be very subconscious. We may not even be aware that's happening. So this may sound very fantastical and very like, really, is that what's in Buddhism? It is. And so it's not something to kind of like raise your eyebrows about, but just know that you can absolutely ask for help. Whether you believe something will happen or not, that is also a good thing to do. Because again, let's go back to the time of the Buddha. You would have asked him for help as well. You know, Buddha, I'm doing XYZ. I don't understand why. Help. And again, the Buddha is not going to go to your home back then and solve all your problems, but he's going to probably tell you something related to the Dharma. That was the focus of his teachings. And as he helps you by understanding the Dharma, which in a way is focused on your particular problem, you are able to hopefully start changing your morality and conduct, and also building your wisdom and your concentration so that you can eventually become awakened and enlightened. But it's these little baby steps, if you will, in certain cases. And that's what we want from our teachers. We want us to be guided. So of course, in the real world of where we're at right now, this existence we're in right now, you can absolutely go to your monastic, and if you need some guidance on, hey, I've monastic venerable, I have violated one of these precepts, this was the situation, I'm not exactly sure how I came to this particular misdeed, this transgression, how can I prevent this in the future, what do you think, what's your recommendation? And they may or may not have a particular way that can help you, but they are going to focus it, of course, on the Dharma, because the Dharma, the Buddha's teachings, is for our world. When we fully understand and practice it, that is when we are able to transgress these transgressions. So that is really important. Now, we've talked about the repentance. When you're repenting, you are going before a Buddha or Bodhisattva. You are letting them know what that transgression was, and you are chanting so you can recognize this is why, of course, the three fires, three poisons is a primary factor, reason why, but you've had this transgression, this misdeed, and created this unwholesome karma. We know we can't get rid of unwholesome karma. The best we can do is try to make sure it doesn't bloom, right? So we don't want to keep doing these transgressions, these misdeeds. So we don't want to give water to these seeds, these unwholesome seeds, this karma. But we want to start generating wholesome karma, and we can do that via the Eightfold Path or that of your particular tradition. And so there's many, many different ways to practice, of course, but this is going to be the central way we do it in Buddhism. And that goes to the second part of repentance. Now, there's many different Buddhist traditions out there. I'm, of course, just speaking high level, and in certain cases, like right now, speaking about my tradition. But you will understand that this vow making, this second part of your repentance, is important. And the way I think about it and liken it is action. So just repenting, going, this is what I did, help me, Buddha. Well, that's not going to get you too far. You have to take some action on your own, right? So even the Buddha, when we just talk about Buddhism in general, he says it has to be from our own efforts. And this is in all the different Buddhist traditions. It doesn't really matter which one. We have to do certain actions. And that's whether that's chanting, that's belief, that's practice. You know, we are doing different things in Buddhism of our own effort. No one's going to take our hand here in this world to help us. We got to take some action, right? So we have the second part inside Buddhism is going to be vow making. As I mentioned, I like it because it's an action. You know, you are going, this is why I don't want to be doing these transgressions, these misdeeds. So let me show you and tell you what we chant in my tradition. It goes, sentient beings are infinite. I vow to liberate them. Afflictions are endless. I vow to eradicate them. Teachings are immeasurable. I vow to learn them all. Buddhahood is supreme. I vow to attain it. Now, in my tradition, which is part of the Mahayana branch of Buddhism, we follow the Bodhisattva path, and that's where this is coming from. But what I like about this is, it's saying that you've created some sort of misdeed, transgression, right? And that's due to the three fires, three poisons of greed, anger, and ignorance. But the reason why we don't want to keep doing that is because it's affecting others. And is preventing me from reaching Buddhahood, is preventing me from being on that path. So if I am harming others, and that's through my misdeeds, my transgressions, that's not good, because how am I supposed to be on this bodhisattva path and aspiring to liberate them, help them? They got all these issues in the world, and I don't want to be adding on to that, right? Why am I not following the Buddha's teachings? Why do I not want to stop doing this on my path? This needs to be my action. I need to have this seed planted in my head. This is where I need to go to prevent these future transgressions. This is why I need to practice. This is why I need to learn. This is why I need to cultivate everything inside Buddhism, because it's wholesome. And I don't want to do these unwholesome things anymore. That's really important. So when it comes to repentance in Buddhism, you have this two-part process. It is the actual repentance, where, as I mentioned, you can go before a image or a statue of a Buddha or Bodhisattva. You're going to get it out. And there's typically a chant, and like I gave you my example in my tradition, where we are going to basically reveal to ourselves, of course, why it's occurring. I mentioned three fires, three poisons. We know that's important because that's what's creating those transgressions and misdeeds, but it's due to us not fully understanding the Dharma yet. We understand that, but we need to repent to that, and we need to get out what happened so that we are aware of it. Not necessarily this Buddha or Bodhisattva we're telling it to. They're aware that we're sentient beings. They're aware that we are not enlightened yet. But we need to get this out. We need to say that. We also need to ask for help. We need to ask for help from our teacher. And a very common way of doing this is before a Buddha or a Bodhisattva to ask for help. But you may also, of course, talk to your monastic, talk to your living physical teacher in this world for guidance and assistance as well. We need that component also. Then we flip over on the second part to vows. So that's all trying to understand and get out why that happened, be sincerely repenting for that occurred. We don't want to just do it mindlessly. We want to be sincere about it. Then we need to make a vow that we don't want to do that again. And I mentioned in my tradition is very much on a bodhisattva path, and it gives us that clear aspiration why we don't want to do that. So we need to cultivate morality and conduct. That's why we're repenting. We need to cultivate that. We have to be aware of this. We need to get this out. That's what I need to cultivate. How do I do that? I got to have a vow. I need to have that aspiration. And that's what we get when we chant that as well. We need to plant that seed. Get out those bad seeds, if you will, out of your mind. Put that good seed, that vow in there, that's going to keep you on that path. That is repentance in Buddhism. And of course, as I mentioned, I was given a very high level explanation of this and in certain components here, very specific to my tradition. But I encourage you, when you are part of a Buddhist tradition, please go to your temple, talk to your monastics, and find out how you would repent in your particular tradition. There might be a certain way they recommend that is done, and that would be what you should follow, of course. But you can see the general foundation here across the traditions is why we're doing it, is because we have to have our own effort, of course, but also other help as well from Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and of course, monastics, your Sangha, to help you, because we all need this help. We just can't do it all by ourselves. And then we have to make that vow, that aspiration, that action, I would call it, so that we will not do future misdeeds, transgressions, because we want to stop that unwholesome karma. We don't want to water the seeds of unwholesome karma already in our stored consciousness, in our mind. So this is why repentance is so important. I hope you enjoyed this episode about repentance in Buddhism. I'd like to hear your comments. You can send me a message from my website or comment on social media, or send me a voice message via Spotify. Thank you, and I'll talk with you in our next episode.